path through the woods down to the bay. I used to go fishing with my father in English Bay. And then I spent 2 years on the Fiji Islands as a child.
Oh, really?
My
where?
My father in Suva. Well,
I've just come back from there. So.
Have you really? No. Were you in Suva?
No, we were on one of the islands. We were on... forgotten the name of the island.
I probably don't know
right
the names of the islands anymore.
Yeah.
But I did go back a few years ago. We were there in 06 and 07.
Mm-hmm.
And I have my mother's diary of the whole year of 1906, which is very interesting. And they were building a mill to crush the raw sugar and then send it up here to the BC sugar refinery.
What was your father doing in Suva?
Well, he was in the sugar refinery up here.
Oh, I see.
Yes, he was a banker originally, but he knew Mr. B.T. Rogers when he first came here in the turn of the century.
Mm-hmm.
And went into the B.C. Sugar as their treasurer, ended up as the president.
Mm-hmm.
But... So, yes, I was back again in 62 years later.
You must have noticed a big change.
Yes, quite a change. Especially with the Indians taking over, you know, as they have now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you spent 2 years of your childhood in Fiji.
And when we came back in 1907, that's when Joe taught me. And I went to Crofton House.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to UBC, and as it says in this, Freddie gave me the first English class. That they were correct on that.
Now, what was your impression, the first class?
Well, there were two professors in the English department in those days. I think he must have taken one look at me and decided I don't want her, because I was transferred the next day to J.K. Henry, who was the other professor of English.
Now why?
He was not as good a lecturer as Freddie was. And then I joined the Players Club. Well, I went in the meantime, I went to New York, as it says here, and studied drama.
But you were enrolled in nursing at UBC, or?
Yes, well, when I came back from New York, mm-hmm. I went into training, and three of us out of the class had all had a couple of years of college work, so they took us out of the regular nursing and put us into UBC. And in those days, the university was across the street from the hospital, you see. So I stayed on in the hospital because my family were all away that winter, and just had to cross the street every morning to college.
So this was when the university was at Fairview Shacks?
Yes.
Oh,
and
I
then
see.
I joined the Players Club, and Freddie was the director, so he directed me in plays there.
Now what play stands out in your mind as...
Well, our graduating play, we thought was a good title because it was Shaw's You Never Can Tell. And from that, Freddie and I were married. And the two young leads were Jack Klein and Betty Somerset, who were married too. So. And of course we went through the province with that, you know.
Yeah.
I played about 20 times in different towns in the province.
You went all over the place, didn't you?
Yes, we did. Did quite a lot of. It was very interesting. I enjoyed that thoroughly.
Just to go back to when you were at UBC, seeing as you were one of the students at Fairview Shacks, it's very interesting to talk to someone who was a student in Fairview Shacks. What was it like being a student there, and how many students were there? And
oh dear, I think that when I first went there, there weren't even more than about 400.
So that would have been in the
1919.
That
was 1919. 1919. As I say, I had this first written in 1916, but that didn't. And then I went to the Island East. But when I came back in 1919, there weren't very many then. It was quite small.
Were there any professors that stood out in your mind besides your husband?
Teddy Boggs, Theodore Boggs, who taught economics. He was very good and friendly. He and Freddie were friends, so we did things together. Trying to think if there's anybody.
I know Mrs. Eagles had mentioned Professor Archibald.
Yes.
Someone who stood out in her mind. And that was, you two were, you said you were in chemistry together?
Yes, right.
Yeah.
Dr. Clark gave me lectures, and I must say they were well over my head.
Is that right?
Yes, I found them very trying because I'd never taken any chemistry before. I had to do a lot of extra sciences, so it was quite a heavy course. In those days, I think they changed it a lot since.
So you would have got a degree in nursing from UBC.
Yes, and it was then in the Department of Applied Science. There was no pure science department in those days. So that my degree is a Bachelor of Applied Science in Nursing.
Oh, I see.
And the present ones are.
Okay, I'll just.
Sorry, can you turn?
We'll get back to the Fairview Shacks. And we were also talking about just your degree in nursing, and you said you'd got your degree in applied science in nursing, which is different from today. Did you practice nursing at all after you got your degree?
Yes, for a couple of years. As soon as I graduated, I was made head of the eye, ear, nose, and throat operating room for the summer, as a summer replacement.
At VGH?
Yes. Yeah. But all three of us had picked public health as an interest, main interest. And Dr. McEachern, who was then head of the hospital, decided that he wanted me in the VON. In Montreal, I think they had visions of me being head of this because the head was nearly ready to retire. So they sent me to Montreal, which was the headquarters. And I enjoyed it as long as I was out in the district helping with births and giving advice to babies and mothers and so on. But after 6 months of that, they put me in the office. I never liked office work and answering the phone, making out reports and this stuff. So I left, and then when I had enjoyed my surgical work so much at the General, that I wrote to see if they had any vacancy, and the head of I was the first graduate nurse and head of the emergency. Up till that, of course, we didn't have nearly the accidents or horrible things that go on today, but they just used to have a nurse in training and send a graduate nurse down from the main hospital operating room if they needed. But as it was, I was head of the emergency, but I scrubbed in the mornings in the operating room right there. But we had very little morning work, fortunately, in those days. And as a matter of fact, I had really wanted to be a surgeon. Thought I might stay in London. I was visiting over there and thought I might stay in London. And then it's when Freddie began writing frantically and saying, you must come back first. You can't stay away far. I took, actually, with my nursing course, I took a pre-med course. Took extra work. And was ready to go into medical school. But he persuaded me to. And
he
I hadn't
prevailed.
Regretted it,
no.
I must say. No. We had 51 years together, which were pretty good.
51.
Yes,
wow.
We were very
That's
fortunate.
Wonderful.
I was very fortunate.
Gee. Mm-hmm. And you'd kept up the interest in the Players Club until it actually unfolded?
Yes, yes. I did a lot of work with the alumni. We had an alumni group. I did direct at a lot of plays as well as acting. And then in 1933, Jack and Betty Klein and I were at the first Dominion Drama Festival. Dorothy Somerset directed us in Shaw's Back to Methuselah.
Mm-hmm.
And Jack and Betty were Adam and Eve, and I was the serpent. I'll show you a picture I have of us. And we came second in the Dominion. We went to Ottawa in that place.
Isn't that wonderful?
That was very interesting. Sure. Enjoyed it thoroughly.
Did the serpent have a lot to say?
Oh yes,
yeah.
Oh yes.
Evil,
to say.
Evil incarnate.
Yes, right.
And at UBC then, apart from the Players Club, at the Faculty Women's Club, when did you become a member there?
Well, as soon as I married Freddie, his mother took me, actually. His mother was a member in those days. And it was only a small, small faculty, so it was a small group. And we just met in people's homes and sat around and had a little sort of social gathering and a cup of tea and some sort of entertainment. Well, that's what put me off all these organizations that I joined, having gone and done all this work in New York and so on. The Faculty Women's Club, the University Women's Club, the Georgian Club, and those three particularly, I was asked to get up a play reading or give a little some sort of a performance, reading of a play myself. In fact, one year I got up for the Christmas meeting a play that had four women in it, Mrs. Angus, Mrs. Strum, Mrs. Soward and myself. I took part in it, but I'd also directed it. And we played it in Hulda Clark, Mrs. R.H. Clark's living room.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the most ambitious thing I did, I think. But I will say that after 7 years and having my third child, I decided to take a sabbatical year off, and that was it.
And that was it.
I just didn't go back.
Well, were you looked upon as a person to provide the entertainment at one or two?
Evidently, yes. Give a paper here or two.
Yes. After a while, you run out of energy and interest,
you?
Yes,
certainly do.
Yeah. Well, when you were a member of the Faculty Women's Club, who were the other women that you were particularly friends with?
Well, of course, Mrs. Angus and I have always been. We were the same year. We were both in the 23.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to think who else.
And Mrs. Eagles,
and
would
Mrs.
she have
Soward,
been a friend?
Yeah. Mrs. Soward, yes. Yeah. I don't remember when Blythe came on the West Coast.
1931?
See, it was 25 that we were married.
And they were married, I do have it down here. They're a little bit later.
It was about 32 that I gave up.
Is that right? So you were there from
1925 to
32. Yeah. 32. So what sort of things were discussed, or what happened at the Faculty Women's Club meetings in those days?
Well, as I say, we just had usually some form of slight entertainment and a little social gathering. That's it.
Yeah. So the meetings were not very formal as
no,
they are now?
Very informal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Small groups. It was a small group.
Yeah. I'm trying to see who was now the president in the...
Mrs. Westbrook used to come in the early days.
And
Mrs. Schofield was another friend of mine. Mrs. Brock.
Yeah.
Knew them well. I'm trying to think of some of the people that I knew.
I see. The president in 1925 to 26 was Mrs. Ugo.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Right. And then Mrs. Clement in 26, 27, and Mrs. Buchanan 27, 28. And then Fraser, Hartley, and Mrs. Angus was in 1931 to 1933.
Mm.
Okay. So I guess in those days, a lot of the discussion, if there was, would be centering around the scholarship. Would that have been
a
big?
Yes, quite likely. Yes.
And
was it a Westbrook scholarship?
Yes.
I think there was.
Yes,
something.
For graduate women.
Yes.
Yeah. And the Constitution was an issue in later years, and I think it was always changing as to who would be allowed to be on the membership. But when you were a member, was that an important...
I don't remember any discussion on that.
Yeah. No. So the meetings would have been held at somebody's house?
Yes.
And were there annual dances or dinners or
I don't remember.
Those,
I don't think so.
Yeah. And what about the husbands? Were the husbands ever invited to any of the meetings?
I don't
meetings
remember
or?
That either. Yeah. You know, I think we just sort of got together for sort of afternoon tea. And,
yeah. Did you bring the children ever to any of the meetings, or is that not allowed?
No, I don't think anybody, I don't remember that.
Well, I wondered when the faculty was small and the campus was small, things are more informal, and whether it was just an occasion to get out and see people and meet people, probably.
I think that was it.
And did your husband have any comments about the faculty women's club, or... encourage you to get involved?
He probably did, but I don't remember particularly.
But his mother thought it was a good idea that you join.
Oh yes.
And what did she say when you decided not to be a member anymore?
By that time she had died. She was a good deal older.
Yeah.
She died when we were about 2 years married. She became a grandmother and wasn't long after that. She died.
Yeah.
She was in her 70s, so in those days that was fairly old.
Yeah. Not today, but certainly today. In those days, no.
I'm 88.
Are you really?
So.
Well, you don't appear to be 88.
Oh, you certainly don't.
Except I don't know what really being 88 is anymore. No. No. Definitely not.
Well, it's hard. It is hard to believe. I mean, that all those so many years ago, and all these things happened too.
I know. Mm-hmm. I know it is. And I know the club is. I guess it's changing from what it used to be, but its original intent appears to be the same, just to get introduce people to each other.
Well, I was talking to my daughter-in-law this morning because I was just asking her. Because I never really have talked to her much about the faculty women's club, but her family are Italian. Her mother and father were both born in Italy, met in Canada, but and all the family were born in Canada. But so she was studying in a little group that was studying Italian, and that I didn't realize until she told me this morning that it was under the faculty women's club. I thought it was under the university women's club. I think they also have these little language groups, but I have never rejoined. I don't want to tell you this while it's on that, but sometime when it's off, I'll tell you a story.
All right.
Why I left the University Women's Club.
Oh, my.
I was saying that we used to go to Laguna from 1950 on every winter. For 6 months, so there was really no point in joining all these organizations.
No. Because they went run through the winter anyway, most of them.
Yes, right.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was happily out of them. And the Georgian Club used to get have play readings. I used to get some of the actors from the little theater. And we used to go to read a play for the membership. But I did that for several years, but not after we started going down, because they didn't do much in the summer.
So obviously for you, there wasn't a need for that kind of club at the university. You had other things that kept you busy anyway. And mostly in the theater, and you were writing plays.
Well, I used to do a lot of volunteer work, such as the United Way, you know. I was collecting, and one year I was in charge of the whole of West Point Grey, which was quite a job.
Yeah.
And in the Junior League, I had a big job there as placement chairman, and I had to find jobs for all the girls in the Junior League, and if they couldn't take on their job someday, I often had to, at the last minute, take on somebody else's job.
What sort of things would they be doing?
Volunteer service, baby clinics, and oh goodness, I can't remember it all now, but it was everybody in the Junior League has to do so many hours of volunteer service.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In different organizations. Mm-hmm. We used to work at the Alexander Neighborhood House. We used to put on little plays for the children in the orphanage, for instance. Mm-hmm. But now, of course, they don't have these orphanages.
Yeah.
But there were several of those different children's plays. We used to direct the market. That was another job.
That's a big job.
Yes.
Then at UBC, you directed, you said, some of the plays? And
for the alumni, yes. I never directed the undergraduates. No, it was always alumni, I think, for that.
And what kind of plays would they be, and under what auspices would those plays be?
Under the Players Club alumni. We used to put on a three-act play every spring for the graduating class.
Oh, I see.
And the first one that I directed, we put it on for the graduating class, and then the next night we put it on for the public. And Bob Cromie, who was then the editor of the Sun, the publisher really, of the Sun paper, their home was where Crofton House is now, on 41st.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very much taken with this play, and he said, I wonder if you'd come and do it in my ballroom. They had a ballroom. So we went there and did it. And then one of the members had a home in Qualicum.
Mm-hmm.
We went over to Qualicum and did the same play, so we did it about four different performances.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And you took all your props and...
Yes, we had quite a business.
That's a huge
business.
And
then quite a lot of the alumni used to come. Freddie and I used to take a house, rent a house, because my family had a home in Qualicum, a summer home. We used to take the children over there for the summer. And then two summers, the Players Club alumni rented a house. And we put on plays every Friday and Saturday night. It was like a repertory company in the tiny little community hall there.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to put on plays there, so that was quite a lot of theater work. Yeah.
It's a lot of work.
Yes.
It's an awful lot of work, the theater. It's not just getting up on the stage and saying your lines. There's a lot more involved.
A lot, because you do everything. If you're in a group like that, you do the scenery and the costumes and the props and everything.
You have your lighting to consider. That's right. Oh my goodness.
So I was fairly busy.
Yes.
You can imagine.
Oh.
With three children also growing up.
And one of your daughters is now an actress herself?
Yes. She just finished two plays at the Playhouse.
Mm-hmm.
She was in the dining room, and she was in the Russian play, We the Undersigned.
Mm-hmm.
She's done a lot in the East. She's been in Stratford, leading lady at Stratford, and in Niagara on the Lake, playing Shaw.
Yeah. So it's passed down through the family, hasn't it?
One of them had to be a professional. I was only an amateur. But
oh, that's wonderful. And then your son is teaching up in commerce. He's gone totally away from faculty of commerce at UBC. And your other daughter is?
Well, she's the one who was an occupational therapist.
Mm-hmm.
She used to work. She married an American who was also a professor in special education in Georgia. I have three grandsons in Georgia now.
Oh.
But they live in Sydney on Vancouver Island.
Yeah.
And she's now retired
and
living at home. But she does volunteer work.
Mm-hmm.
But she worked all most of the time they were married, the way the young wives do now.
That's right.
So many of them do, yes.
Well, you sounded pretty busy, even if you weren't working in a paying job. It sounds like you certainly...
I was quite busy.
Very busy.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's see if I have any more specific things that... When you were up at UBC during the war years, was there a lot of effort on the part of the university to provide facilities to help people like the Red Cross? They request help making clothes.
I don't know. I worked in the Red Cross the whole of the war. And as soon as they started the blood donor clinic, I got back into uniform and went in as a nurse for a volunteer.
Yeah.
And but I can't really remember too much of what the other people did.
Did you spend much time up at the university when?
No, very little. I always thought I might, get around to taking more courses. But I did very little. I went at times to night school, to King Edward. They used to have a night school there a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But that was other things such as languages. I've always tried to keep my French up and studied a little Spanish. And gardening, we took courses in gardening there. But no, I never went and did any more credits at the university. I always thought I might, but I seemed to be busy enough without that.
Yeah. And then after your husband retired, you spent more time in California than in...
Yes, half the year.
Yeah.
And
I gather you were involved in the theater down there.
Yes, and I was in about 20 plays down there, I think.
Really?
Yes.
And this was after 1950? This was in...
Yes, started 1950. You retired then. And it was we first discovered Laguna in 1936. I had friends, one of my New York friends, lives in Santa Monica. She's just celebrated her 90th birthday. She's just a little bit ahead of me. And she came up to Vancouver on a visit and persuaded us to come down there. And that was when we discovered Laguna and liked it so much that, of course, during the war we couldn't go down. But we just decided, we used to just drive down and spend a few weeks sitting on the beach once college had closed. And had decided that we liked it so much that when Betty retired, we'd try the 6 months deal.
Yeah.
And so really enjoy that.
But you
down there, I joined Panhellenic, having been a Kappa up here.